Hello again, Gunas. Came in a bit late with my intro there, if that's what I call it. Why? Because the music let me down yet again. What a surprise. No, actually, it wasn't music. It was a red button. I press the red button and you expect the thing to start moving, to start rolling. The on-air sign was there, but anyway, we weren't recording, but now we are. And welcome along to the show. I'll stop the drum beat on that snare. It was a snare, wasn't it? Anyway, no snares for Arsenal. Getting through that first, what seemed like a competitive game of the season. Obviously, it's technically a friendly, the Community Shield, but it didn't really feel like it. The way the tempo was pretty fast-paced. For a neutral, was it a good game? It's hard for me to answer that. I thought... I'm not a neutral, so clearly for me it was fascinating, this whole contest. It seemed that Arsenal were content to surrender possession, allow City to have the ball in not very dangerous areas, and that was the key thing. In the dangerous areas, Arsenal actually looked a better team. Obviously, City got the first goal, and then Arsenal pulled one back, which there was an element of luck about the equaliser. There's no point pretending. Trossard's deflected goal brought the scores level, but I thought Arsenal easily matched City in most areas of the field. It was just that it's not always about possession, is it? You can have a lot of possession and not win the game. Arsenal should know all about that. Well, City got a taste of that kind of medicine. So everybody shouting Timber, as I put in the headline or subtext. Timber being the left back who's been brought in to possibly play at right back as well, and to give Ben White a bit of breathing space should he need it throughout the season. But yeah, I'm not going to complain about Timber. He was possibly Arsenal's best player. There were a few contenders out there though. He was excellent. I do want to say something more about Timber before I forget though, because I was listening to the Le Grove, the podcast called Le Grove, which is really good. I would recommend it. And one of the guys on there, I think it's Matt Candela, said that fullback is the toughest position to play in. I thought, what are you talking about, mate? It's just, is there really any evidence of that? He said he was watching a game with a QPR coach. Well, no wonder QPR are not doing very well, or they haven't been. That's clearly nonsense. How can a fullback be the hardest position to play in? Who gets the most money? Let me ask you that. Who gets the most money in a football team? If memory serves me correctly, it's a striker, possibly a winger, maybe a midfielder, dominant midfielder, playmaker. Even a centre-back could be the biggest transfer. I've only got to look at that that guy at Manchester United now, who cost an awful lot of money and now is on the way to West Ham, apparently. Yeah, people laugh about him, but he cost a lot of money. I've suddenly forgot his name, but yeah, you know the guy. He's it seems that he is on the way to West Ham, so how the mighty have fallen. But he was, yeah, decent player and a massive influence. So my point is, fullback is important. Every position is important. Even a goalkeeper is more important than a fullback. But let's cast our mind back to when Arsenal got to the Champions League final and the one and only occasion when that happened. Who was playing left back? Anybody remember? A guy called Mathieu Flamini was playing left back. So he was a makeshift left back and he managed to play in that position relatively well, in my opinion. Even Xhaka, people slagged him off for not playing very well at left back, but I thought he was all right. For the most part, he did give away a penalty on one occasion. I can't forget about that. I think it was against Palace. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. The point is, how many fullbacks have moved from one club to another for a record transfer fee? There have been excellent fullbacks in the past. Kenny Sampson comes to mind. He's probably one of my favourite left backs that I've seen at Arsenal. I'm trying to think of Lee Dixon and Winterburn were solid. Pat Rice was an excellent right back, and Bob McNabb on the left. These guys were really good. I think they were the first or one of the first cases of overlapping fullbacks, because in those days maybe playing a fullback was a little bit easier than it is now. So I do see that as the game has progressed, it's become more difficult perhaps to play at left back, but the basic job is simple. One of the points Matt Candela made was that you've got to sort of have 360 degree vision. That's not even true, because if you're playing in position, you're only looking one way on the pitch. Well, you might be looking, you're looking 180 degrees at the most, not 360, because you should be on the touchline, shouldn't you? So because of that, if you're hugging the touchline, giving the team a bit of width, how in the hell have you got 360 degree, need 360 V3 vision? I'm slurring my words here. I wouldn't think I'm just drinking water, but here I am. That's all I am drinking. Bit dehydrated, it has to be said. And excited, though, because this team looks a force to be reckoned with. When you think that City have got swagger, they've got attitude, they've got skill, they've got strength in depth. Arsenal seem, if they've got a weakness still, it's the strength in depth. And to be honest, when the substitutions got made, I was beginning to fear the worst. Although City made their substitutions and they seem to improve the performance. And talking about the performance before the substitutions, you see, that's what I think. Well, it's obvious now that I was wrong, but at the time I was thinking, Arteta's called this, he's made a mistake here, because really bringing on Trossard so late on, I wanted Trossard to start actually, but to bring him on so late, I actually didn't think it was going to have a huge impact on the game. And of course it had a massive impact. He is a game changer, there's no doubt about that. So, yeah, we've got to be happy with Trossard. And obviously, well, not obviously, but to me, a lot of the new players, aside from Timber, also acquitted themselves well. There was, of course, the new signing, Kai Havertz from Chelsea. I didn't see anything wrong with his performance. Playing as a number nine, there was talk as well, where I'm not going to comment too much on this because I don't know, but there was comment that he's so good in the air that Arsenal could put balls in a bit earlier or something along those lines. I was certainly thinking in a similar way, not about Kai Havertz. I was thinking about Saka, because watching that game was interesting, because every time Saka got the ball, he was closed down. At one point, I counted five Manchester City players around Saka. So he draws all the opposition players to him like a magnet. And the best thing to do, in my opinion, if you get in a situation like that, is not necessarily to try and pass the ball through an eye of a needle. Why not knock it into the middle? If we've got somebody in the middle like Havertz who can score the odd header, it might be worth doing that. And if it goes too far, then Martinelli can pick it up on the other side. It's just, I think there needs to be, not that Saka played badly, he did pretty well, but it's just that I felt that he was getting a little predictable. He was keeping the ball, retaining the ball for the most part, but every now and then it wasn't working out. It didn't seem to lead to anything. So I just thought if he started varying up his game a little bit more, there would be it could pay dividends. That's all. Obviously, Mikel Arteta knows better than me, and I'm sure he would have thought about it if it's a viable solution. But in the past, of course, Arsenal haven't thrown the ball into the box because they've lacked a player with this sort of aggression in the air that can turn you know, a chance into a goal. Kai Havertz had a couple of chances, didn't score. My thoughts on that were if you hit the target, in a sense, you're unlucky not to score. Although one of them was, some might say, a P-roller, but the keeper was going the other way and he only just managed to scramble it away with his feet. So I think Kai Havertz was pretty unlucky, and he worked hard. He showed a bit of petulance, which I'm not sure I like that, giving away getting a silly yellow card for nothing, really. I wasn't keen on that. But aside from that, I was pretty happy with his performance. So Timber, you going back to him for a second, can't moan about somebody like that. It was an impeccable performance coming into a new team and playing as if he'd been in the Arsenal setup for 10 years. He looked as good as you could possibly get. But bear in mind, the fee was less than 40,000. It seems like, talking of that amount of money, seems like David Raya will be joining. There keeps being headlines. There was a headline in Standard: Raya signs, and then when you read between the lines, he's likely to sign. So actually, we've not moved on at all in the last month or so. But in a way, it doesn't really surprise me. Matt Turner seems to be on the way to Nottingham Forest for £10 million. David Raya is a very interesting case in point because he's arguably as good as, and sometimes better than, Aaron Ramsdale. Now, a lot of people are going to get mad with me for saying that because Ramsdale is a favourite of many, me included. I think he's one of the best keepers out there, but so is David Raya. Imagine having two of the best keepers. It's a bit like in the old days when England had Shilton and Clements, two of the best international keepers. Well, these two, Raya and Ramsdale, haven't proved themselves so much on the international stage as those two keepers from the 70s and 80s, but still, they could go on to bigger and better things. So I'd like to see David Raya sign on the dotted line. It will be great for Arsenal to get that deal over the line. So we shall see if that indeed does happen. But yeah, so talking of Raya, what kind of deal will Arteta put on the table to make sure this happens? In my opinion, it's going to be a case of Arteta saying to Raya, you're going to be the cup goalkeeper, you're going to be the Champions League goalkeeper. If he doesn't say that, if I was David Raya, I probably wouldn't sign. I would expect to be guaranteed some first-team football so that I could prove myself. I wouldn't accept the idea that I'm second fiddle to Ramsdale for the whole entire season for every single game. It's only fair to divvy up the games, to give some games to Raya to prove himself. The majority should be to Ramsdale because he's the current incumbent of the goalkeeping jersey, for the league at least. And based on that City performance, he's going to be a tough act to follow. It'll be difficult for Raya to shift Ramsdale if he plays like that. Actually, impossible for him to be shifted out. But Raya is certainly good enough to play Champions League, certainly good enough for the FA Cup and the League Cup. So that's quite a few games. Six in the Champions League, two in the Cups minimum. So that's eight games straight away. So that gives you an ample opportunity to stake your claim. And I'm sure Raya believes in his ability because he is highly rated. So let's not pretend this is not a good signing. If Raya does indeed come to Arsenal, I think it's a major, major coup. And it will get the best out of Ramsdale as well based on this last performance, because that was one of his better games. There was a moment which was picked up in that Le Grove podcast where he almost, they didn't phrase it quite like I'm going to, but he almost conceded because he allowed the ball to roll across him almost to the point it crossed the goal line and would have been a goal for Manchester City. But he likes to live, keep us on tenterhooks and live dangerously. I wasn't altogether pleased about that, but he managed to get out of jail, so you can't moan too much. Anyway, going back to the new signings, obviously the big name is Rice Baby, as people keep calling him. I hated that song when I first heard it, and I still hate it to this day. But I hate it a little bit less because I think Rice, Declan Rice, is going to be the difference between Arsenal making it or not making it. Because really, having him alongside Thomas Partey, who looks like he's here to stay, and that's good news as far as I'm concerned, they look almost impregnable. Obviously, City did get a goal, but it was a blinding goal, one that is next to impossible to defend against. So I felt he made a massive difference, Declan Rice. I don't know what people expect from him. He's not going to come in and totally set the world on fire because he's not that sort of player. The sort of player he is a catalyst. He will solidify the rest of the team. He plays simple passes for the most part. He doesn't do, he can hit a long ball as well. He's got an incredible engine. So he's well worth 105 million. I don't care what anyone says. He's certainly worth it more than Grealish. What did Grealish do against Arsenal? Totally snuffed out. Even Haaland was totally snuffed out. That was incredible. And I think most of the credit for that goes to William Saliba. It's hard to... Again, Saliba had a quiet-ish performance. But the point is, his game plan was just to take out the main City threat. And he did that. So... Yeah, the back four were incredibly good. You've got to, looking at it, whatever way you want to look at it, that was one hell of a performance from the back four. So I'm trying to think of negatives, and I'm really struggling. It's not like me, is it? It's really not like me. But I suppose I was thinking in the first half when City were playing around at the back quite a lot, and Although the new signing from Chelsea, Havertz, was running around a lot, I didn't think he put enough pressure on the goalkeeper. In the end, the goalkeeper did nearly make a mistake, the City keeper, and got away with it. But somebody like Nketiah is really good at that. He's really good at zooming in on the goalkeeper, closing him down, making life very difficult. So I sort of wished Nketiah had been playing from the start. When he did come on, he didn't make a huge impact, but he does put teams under pressure, and he is a proper finisher. So, it was good to see him get on the pitch at least. And what else can I talk about? I was missing Reece Nelson, but apparently he's injured. He has signed a new deal, so no worries about him leaving. So that brings us back to who else may be leaving, aside from Turner, who's almost certain to join Nottingham Forest. Well, the big one is Balogun. There's been a lot of talk about him moving to, is it Monaco's the latest team interested? Inter Milan apparently interested. This is latest news from Metro. Apparently, Arsenal want £50 million for Balogun, which doesn't sound a lot for a guy who got 22 goals in 39 games. In Le Championnat, playing for Reims. Reims can't be an easy team to score goals for. Monaco, yes, were the team that are most interested. But I reckon he'll go for about 45 million. It's pretty disappointing to see Balogun leave. He's only got apparently 2 years on his contract. So when he signed that new deal, must have been a 3-year contract. But it's true he's behind Jesus and Nketiah in the pecking order, as the article says. But the point is, Jesus is injured at the moment. I suppose the argument goes that he would still prefer Havertz to play up front. He would still prefer this. Arteta. He'd still prefer possibly to put Trossard up front as a false nine. So you can understand Balogun's frustration. He's been training on his own. There's been talk that he's carrying some kind of knock or an injury. I don't know if I believe it, to be honest. I really don't think it's necessarily true. It could be. You never know with these things. It seems like he's on the way out. But anyway, I'm disappointed about that. It's hard to find things to be disappointed about at the moment because there's so much to be pleased about. Marquinhos is on the way to Nantes. On a loan deal. Marquinhos is a decent player. He's 20 years of age, so the best is yet to come. So other players who have left, Maitland-Niles has left. Apparently, he's joined Lyon. I thought he was going to stay in the UK. But Lacazette is at Lyon as well, so the old teammates can link up together and have some good times, no doubt. But anyway, let's hope the good times continue to roll. I'm really, really pleased with the result. Really pleased with the performance. And the only mild criticism I've got is I would like to see Arteta make his substitutions a little bit earlier. So that's all we've got time for this time. Until the next time, adios, amigos.